Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Jim.
Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
We do. We're going to continue using the 2022 half off for anyone who wants to sign up at VRTrader.com. And I also want to make the disclosure that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. We do provide our newsletters for educational purposes and have been doing it for 43 years.
Mark, the stock markets seem to be very nervous, a very negative day today on Thursday. Do you think this is a trend that's going to continue, and are we going to see a major correction within a few days or in a short period of time?
Well, if you recall our previous conversations, I've been warning about the Ides of March and the vernal equinox, which is the 21st of the month. And in many instances, looking back at our charts, nothing's 100%, but sometimes market lows are formed in this time frame. So this is a dangerous time frame. It actually starts around Groundhog Day, February 2nd. Where the market topped out on that day, and that tends to be coincident with some other powerful cycles, and maybe the groundhog is just coincident with those, but that predicted 6 weeks of winter, and this translated now perhaps into 6 weeks of market weakness, which would carry us into the middle of the month, which we're now approaching. So we'll just have to wait for confirmation of a bottom. Some say it could come later in the month. You don't know. It's just a general time frame. And yes, it could be an extraordinary washout and pretty scary. If you remember the low in March 2020 during the COVID disaster, I mean, that was pretty scary. Of course, the market was dropping 1,000, 2,000 points a day. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but anything is possible. So this is not unexpected. We were long inverse ETFs. I kept mentioning this to your audience. You make money when it goes up or down, and you should be more fearful than long the Dow or short the Dow or long the S&P or short the S&P by buying or using an ETF for that purpose. For example, the long Dow ETF is ticker symbol DIA, and the short version of that, which we were long, that means we were betting on a lower market, is ticker symbol DOG dog. It sort of makes sense, right? So anyway, I hope I answered your question. We're in the time frame. There's nothing unexpected. I've been writing about this for weeks. You'll watch out now for this time frame. It doesn't mean it has to be an ultimate bottom. Market could continue, but this is a time frame you look for some type of trading low, investment low. That I don't know. Maybe it is an investment low. Much depends on what's going on in the world, which is just notoriously bad no matter where you look, whether it's the incompetence at the Federal Reserve, the incompetence in Congress spending money, war risks everywhere. I mean, it's a pretty interesting, but it wouldn't surprise me that some bad news continues to unfold here during this cyclical negative time frame.
Mm-hmm. Now, in these kinds of times, I noticed again, gold seemed to hold up okay when everybody else was falling. Is it?
Well, here's the problem with the gold market. We have a strong dollar, and it was a strong dollar. Then we went through a multi-week correction. There's an interesting correlation, and nothing is 100%, but we may have mentioned this in a previous interview. You know, during U.S. Democratic administrations, historically, of course, we don't have, you know, forever compared to, but we have certainly during this past century, the U.S. dollar tends to be up. And during U.S. Republican administrations, the U.S. dollar tends to be down. So, and again, gold could go either way. Doesn't have to go inverse to the dollar, but that's been the general pattern for a long time, along with other commodities that are priced in dollars. And I guess the day comes when the dollar is no longer the basis for conversion, and the currency that all the other bad actors are working on, from Russia to China, then maybe that will change. So we have this overpowering factor here. I mean, I guess if the Democrats are thrown out, because they were thrown out of the U.S. House just now, but let's say the presidential cycle, which would be kick in until January 25, then if that happens and the dollar starts really heading down, that would be a stronger case for gold. But, you know, there are times where, you know, they could go inverse, but you're sort of fighting the tide here a little bit. It doesn't mean you can't have ups and downs. We had a nice little rally in gold, you know, a couple months ago. It was in the 1600s, rallied up to the 1900s. Now it's pulled back to the low 1800s. So it's certainly tradable. And the big issue is, are we ever going to clear? I'm sure at some point, and hopefully in my lifetime, we break out above this double top formation in gold price in U.S. dollars, which is in that 2060-2070 area, which seems like a long way away, but it really isn't. So we've been there twice since 2020, and if we break through that, I think that would override even the Democrat-Republican scenario that I gave you. That would be a big technical breakout, and then you're probably shooting up to 2300 and, you know, possibly, you know, a lot higher levels. So just got to watch the tape. You know, for those who are gold bugs or people that just like owning diversified assets. I mean, I own gold anyway. I like the coins. They're pretty. I like looking at them. I've been buying them since they were $500, $400 an ounce back in the 1980s, you know. So, I mean, I have a few of these sitting around that I have big gains on, you know. But, you know, in terms of, you know, the basic thought is this is your salvation against currencies going to zero and governments. Total distrust of government, and we know the whole story there. But there's a third factor here, which I brought up many times, that gold has been, along with silver, been manipulated by the government and by the central banks. And although I'm not an expert in this area, I know those who are, and I've mentioned their website, GATA.org, GATA.org. It's run by John Murphy, and he's got 20, 30 years of documentation, anecdotal and otherwise, talking about the suppression of the gold market because governments don't want gold up, making them look bad because they're not doing their job. So you got to check that out. And there's also been litigation against some of the big firms. I don't want to mention the name. It's all on Google if you look at it. Silver traders out there manipulating the futures market and hitting bids and driving prices lower, and just a lot of shenanigans in that market. It's manipulated. Of course, you could say the stock market is manipulated too, and all markets could be manipulated, but gold in particular has been a target for many, many, many years, and ever since Nixon took us off the gold standard in 1970-71, it became a wild, you know, free-for-all here, you know. So anyway, that's sort of my impression of gold. Watch the dollar. See if we take it at 2060, 2070 out first, regardless. And in the meantime, there's like little grades. I mean, some of the gold stocks look good. I don't want to mention names either. They're in my newsletter, but there's one that trades big, one of the biggest in the industry. I think it pays nearly a 5% dividend. So there are ways of getting your foot in the door and getting a little income in the meantime.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what do you think is going to happen in the crude market over the summer? Are we going to see record high gasoline prices, or is there lots of crude sloshing around now?
Well, there's a ETF, ticker symbol UGA, which tracks the gasoline futures and is a way of playing it. But generally, it peaks out, you know, just before into the beginning of summer. So if we're going to get that demand, which is traditional, you just have to watch the ticker symbol of UGA, and that if that starts heading down, that might suggest that the buying or the anticipation is already passed. So it's been rallying a little bit, hasn't been taking off big, but of course it moves up and down with the stock market. But that's the one I track to try to get a sense of what's going on with gasoline. But you know, the traditional thought is yes, because the summer driving and so forth. But you know, there's so many variables out there. You know, interest rates are going up. Money could become more tight. The job picture seems to be positive. Is that going to change now in the next 2-3 months? Is there going to be some international conflict where that's going to, you know, scare people or prevent them from traveling? I mean, you know, particularly overseas, U.S. driving, of course, might be a bit different, except for those that want to continue to drive into Mexico, which they're forewarned not to do now. But, this is a seasonal time for you to generally, you know, watch it. As far as crude oil itself, I'm a big picture bull. I don't know if you saw the article the other day. Warren Buffett added to his position, which continues to increase, in Occidental Petroleum, which has been around forever. There's a whole history with Oxy and the formation of the Soviet Union with Lenin going back to 1917, and the fact that the founder of, I'm not saying this is the current reason, but historically it's an interesting story. Armin Hammer, who founded Oxy, had a business relationship with Lenin, and in fact he was probably one of the only, if not the only, Western businessman that for decades had a business relationship with the communist world. And Warren Buffett chose Oxy as his play, maybe there's some connect with Russia, I'm sure there still is on a certain level, or is anticipating higher prices because of that relationship or because of crude oil itself. But the fact that someone as smart as Warren Buffett's increasing his position just came out the other day, and it continues to increase in size. It's a huge percentage. You would think he's positive about oil. So to me, that's a pretty good barometer. I mean, he's got a pretty good track record. And if he's long Oxy, that would tell me overall you want to be in oil, and particularly Oxy.
Anything happening in the solar sector?
Always day to day. We track the solar website, space called spaceweather.com, and there's always these, you know, either flares or, you know, there's sunspots moving in the right or wrong direction. And we are getting, you know, some atmospheric interference. A lot of the aurora borealis increases interference with shortwave radio. But the big one hasn't happened yet. So that's, of course, referring to the Carrington-type event. So I monitor it. You know, if one hits, it'll probably hit so fast and knock so much stuff out, nobody would have really been prepared for it. You know, I don't think they could predict the one when it finally comes, like it did in the 1860s or 1850s, that it would have that kind of impact. Even though they might say something's developing, it'll probably come as some, you know, some surprise. So it's just interesting to track. But I know shortwave radio people have reported interference because of flares coming from the sun. You know, we just, you know, look at the TV, we look at the weather outside, or we check financial news, and we seem to feel we're impervious to Mother Nature, but we know we're not. And the people in Turkey just got their rear end handed to them, you know, with the giant earthquakes there. So not that that was predictable, but we know that we've got about 45 volcanoes on the planet that are now active. And, you know, these are just things that are going to happen, and whether it'll affect the financial markets during the summer season. Of course, you got the tropical storms and so forth. So I'm more concerned about bigger stuff, like an asteroid coming. We've already seen a couple of near misses in the last just a few months, these small ones that sort of were tracked at the last minute that we supposedly should have identified, but amateur astronomers were finding them, not the professionals. So one of these, little buddy things comes in one day and it's going to cause a lot of damage. And, we just have stuff out there that we just can't control or foresee. So in the meantime, everyone's focusing on the political situation, the geopolitical situation on the planet, and worrying about a nuclear event and the Federal Reserve and so forth and what they're going to do and not do, and what the politicians are going to do and so forth. So one other thing I would mention, we do have what's known as the 4-year presidential cycle, which should bottom sometime between late this year into the first quarter of 2024. So that tends to be a low point in the markets ahead of the last year of the presidential cycle. So there'll probably be some sell-off beyond the one we are experiencing now coming in sometime between September and next March, which would be a 4-year cycle low, and that would be a tradable event. And if the market anticipates a Republican coming in here in the U.S., that would probably be a bullish event for traders. So just something else that why that cycle exists. Is it because of astronomy, Earth changes, why that cycle exists? It's like saying, why do we have lunar cycles and so forth? So we can discuss all that too. But it is a cycle and it's something to watch. So I tend to do a lot of volume work for my trading. That's why we have VR Trader. But over the last 40 years, I've learned that there are a lot of other things out there that can affect the markets, including some of these cycles and the various equinoxes and solstices and the solar and the lunars and all these other events, and not to mention things like the presidential and other cycles that are out there that are identifiable that you need to be aware of. And we try to cover that at VR Trader, and you don't hear that really talked about in the media that much at all. So I think that's why we're a great resource. But thanks for bringing it up.
California, with its record snowfall snowpack this year, they're saying, well, the drought might be over temporarily, and should they not take advantage of try to store some of this water instead of letting all run away for when you really need it?
How do we do that, though? I don't know anything about the logistics of that. I would hope it all go into the reservoirs and they take advantage of all this additional water and store up for the dry periods that are ahead. So that's up to the management in California, as we know, hasn't been too good. But the forestry and the inability to trim back growth and try to prevent extensive forest fires. So I don't know how smart they are in terms of, catching that water or directing it for future use.
Well, maybe I've always wondered why it's not mandatory in California to have a small water tower attached to your house. So if there is a fire, you have firefighting capability there with just gravity feeding the water onto your roof. If you're going to build a $2.5 million mansion, what's another $50,000 to make sure that it doesn't burn down?
I'm definitely with you. I've always, in fact, my home I had years ago up in Sedona, we had a well.
Yeah.
And what you're referring to is a water catchment facility where you accumulate the water from the rain. In a lot of homes, at least in this part of the world, particularly in the northern part, at the higher elevations, have the water catchment. So they accumulate tubs of water, which they use for their house, whether they're on city water or not. It's a backup system. You're right. Everybody should have a well where wells can be drawn and a catchment system to accumulate water just for your normal use and purposes. Why not try to use what nature is providing you rather than city water, which is more expensive and usually is got some chemicals in it? So I'm a big proponent of that. That's why I used to have that myself. Don't currently have it in my current location, but that's where I would have it if I rebuilt or moved.
Anything going on in the crypto space?
Well, there was some action in Bitcoin, and it wasn't so much that Bitcoin itself was moving. Apparently, those behind the Bitcoin Trust, ticker symbol GBTC. I think we're trying to convert it to an ETF. It's not an ETF, it's a trust, but it trades like a stock and had a little bounce here the last few days, even though Bitcoin itself hadn't moved any higher. So the speculation was it becomes an ETF and the Securities and Exchange Commission approves it, that it would have more buyers and have a little more, you know, trading action to the upside that it didn't have up to this point. So, but besides that, you know, I'm bullish on Bitcoin anyway. And, you know, we have these big shakeouts and scares everybody. And I'm not saying we can't have another one, but it sure looked like the low we had back around that 15,000 area was a big low to me. So we'll see. I have stuck my neck out a little bit, Jim, you know, where I think in the next 3 years or so, you could see it back into new highs. You know, it runs in these multi-year cycles, so it could be between 65 and 85,000, I believe, in the next 2 or 3 years. That's sort of my prediction.
Mark, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Nothing other than, you know, the normal, you know, geophysical, extraterrestrial flood stuff that I get into. You know, I'm keeping an eye on all that crazy world out there, which has been quieted down here a little bit since that balloon got shot down. The other crafts were shot down, you know, but that's a big area with me. I'm doing some other interviews talking about that whole subject. I just think there's a bigger, you know, my gut feeling about that is these things that have been cited that the New York Times and the military released, and we've had you know, numerous conversations about this, is really the biggest story out there. I mean, if there's, whether it's our own craft or extraterrestrial craft, and these things are flying around doing somersaults and able to perform tricks that none of our current aircraft can keep on top of, I think that would be a huge story, because it would mean that either bad players on the planet have something that can wipe us out because they're so advanced in their technology, or it's our own technology we're hiding from people. Or is it really extraterrestrial craft, which many have testified are not friendly beings and don't have the most positive thoughts about humankind from some of the articles that I've been reading, but they have been around for thousands of years for those that believe that they're here. And we should be more concerned about what's going on up there, because that could be, if it really is extraterrestrial, you know, you've watched the movies like July 4th and all these things where they come in and they destroy the planet. I mean, if these really are extraterrestrial, then we really have something to worry about. Hopefully it's our own craft and it's a secret space program, which I think has been going on for decades. And it's our own stuff they're just not telling us about. But time will tell. I think it's a big story and we don't, you know, talk about it enough.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Have a great day. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.